Yes, just knowing our Ashlita. Thank you very much, Howard. It happened to me about a year and a half ago that I was in a shtiebel, a small shtiebel, better not say which one. And there was only one Kohen there who seems to get called up four times a week because there's only one Kohen there. And I had already noticed on previous occasions how this Kohen was asked to leave at the business when they were starting Kriyas HaTorah in order to give other people a chance to call them up. Well, I didn't give it too much notice until one day they called me up, Yisrael Bim Kan Kohen, and I thought, well, this is a bit out of order, it seems. And I made a comment to the macher there and said, you know, that there is a Kohen now, why do we kick him out? And, well, because we wanted to call you up. Yeah, but me, I mean, well, why not? So this person claimed that in order to call up an Odom Choshev, somebody who's important, one kicks out the Kohen. Well, if flattery is going to be given, that wasn't a very good way of doing it. I used to be told by one school teacher, the best way of giving someone flattery is to lay it on with a trowel. I wasn't impressed. And I thought, this is something we have to have a bagel cheer about. Because a Kohen cannot even be mochel on his covenant when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah. When it comes to being called up to the Sefer Torah, and I know we have one or two Kohenim here today, so please note, don't give in to those gavoyim, whatever happens. Now, why is this? Surely we should say that Ritzono Shel Adam Zehu Kavodo, that the wish of a person, that is his covenant. And if the Kohen says, yeah, I don't care. Chazal made a special takona when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, that the Kohen is not allowed to be mochel on his covenant because they wanted to prevent machlokas. Because as soon as the Kohen says, yeah, okay, call up whoever you want, and there's some big time with Kochum that comes along to the shul, and they think, oh, we'd better call him up instead of the Kohen, and then you'll get somebody else coming along, and then you'll get arguments saying, well, he is worthy, and he is not worthy, and there'll be all sorts of disputes. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says, and you've got the handout in front of you, Hilchos Kriyas Sefer Torah, Siman Kuf Lamed Hei, Sif Gimel, at the top of the page, the top line, Kohen Kari B'Torah Rishon, we call up the Kohen first, V'achrov Levi, V'achrov Yisrael. That's the order, and there's no reason to depart from it. And as it says after that in Se'if Dalet, Haminag HaPoshut, and that is the custom, Shalu Kohen Aretz. Even if the Kohen is an Amo Oretz, which we will translate here as a Nicanoramus, although there may be differing translations of that phrase. Kodim Nikros, Ifnei Chocham, Godol B'Yisrael, Godol B'Yisrael. We call up the Kohen, even if it's an ignoramus, before the Yisrael, who is a Talmud Chocham, Godol Yisrael. Vusha Kohen Yodea Likros. Obviously the Kohen has to read, and that's we're talking about where the person who's called up is also doing the Kriyas HaTorah. And we'll go on to the next bit of the square writing. How can he make the bracha on the Sefer Torah? So let's look now in the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah, Sif Cotton Test, which is the last narrow line. Kohen Kohen B'Torah Rishon, Dichziv V'Kidashto. It says V'Kidashto. In Parshas Emma we've got the various dinim of the Kohanim, and you shall sanctify him. V'Kibli Chazal, and Chazal have received the din at Shirot Salamah Dovah Shebikdusha. In everything when it comes to Kedusha, Liftoach Rishon, to start the Kohen first, Ulavorich Rishon, and to make a brocha first, Litamona Yopi Rishon, and to give him a nice portion first, Umikom Makom, however, Imotzah Kohen. If the Kohen wants, Lachla Kovad Larabo, he wants to give cover to his Rebbe, Olumi Gosha Godol Mimenu, Horishus Biyodo. Somebody who's much greater than him, he has got the permission to pass over the covered to somebody else, Avalin and Kriyas HaTorah, but not Likros HaTorah, but when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, Beis HaKnesses, no. Tiknu Chazal, Mipnei, Darkei Shalom. For Shalom, we don't want disputes, this one's more important than that one, we call up him, we don't call up this one. Sheim, HaKoim, La'alevi, Yecholim, Limchol. They can't give it up for anyone else. Elodavka Kohen Kari Rishon, Kohen comes first, V'achrov Levi, V'achrov Yisrael. Then comes Levi, then comes Yisrael, Kidei Shelo Hadova Midei Machlokes. What we don't want is machlokas shalachad yomar, because why each one will say, "Ani gadol, I'm big guy." You see, their kurishin I'll read first. They chilak ben Shabbos the yomtiv the sheni kamishi, because there are some opinions in the achronim where they say, "Well, Mondays and Thursdays maybe it doesn't matter so much because you don't get so many people in shul on those days, and therefore you're not so likely to come to machlokas." But the prevailing halacha is that nowadays more people come to shul on Mondays and Thursdays, just like on Shabbos, and therefore we make no difference. Rishayim Zmanim Shekarim Lahem, and as for other times, is the same when we read Kriyas HaTorah. Yemein Kohen Rebeis HaKnesses, obviously if there's no Kohen in the shul, Holchim Acha HaGodol B'Chochum HaVeminyon Afavisha Sha'acha HaGodol B'Shonim. Although you might have somebody who's older in years, you might call up somebody who's well known or greater in Chochum or whatever it is, but that's for
some.
The halacha is, if there's no Kohen, you don't have to call up a lady. You can go straight for Yisrael.
But here, the main Kohen Beis HaKnesses, you must call the God of the Chochmah, you must call the learned person in shul.
I'm saying, not the
yes.
lady.
You don't need to call up the lady then come Kohen. You don't have to, you can.
Do you remember the custom of the shul?
No. I don't know if there is a prevailing custom, but...
So
you don't have to call up.
Said the oldest, the most popular, that's normally you would do.
Yes.
What you said sometimes the Kohen is a lot, it could be this.
Yeah. So if we just look a bit of the background, what is it about this kind of hereditary peerage which gives the Kohen so much importance and so much covet? Is it fair, is it right in our democratic society that we should be giving such privileges to the people who you might think don't seem to deserve it? It all started a long time ago when originally the Bechorim were meant to do the Avodah, the firstborn were meant to do the temple service. And it is written that the reason why the firstborn fast on Erev Pesach is not simply to commemorate the Makkah of Makkas Bechoros, because if you were just commemorating the Makkas Bechoros, then maybe everybody should fast. The reason why the firstborn are fasting on Erev Pesach is that they are atoning for something. What are they atoning for? They're atoning for the fact and regretting the fact that they can't do the Avodah anymore. Why? Because of the sin of the golden calf. After the sin of the golden calf, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Mi l'Hashem Eloi, who is on my side? Who is coming to support Hashem?" Vayosu Elov Kol Bnei Levi, and all the Levim came round him. The Levim did not ask in the golden calf, and through that reason alone, the Bechorim lost the right to do the Avodah, and the Levim were given it in their place. They are given the privileges as they deserve thing because of what happened at that time. And it's an important lesson. Thousands of years later, who knows, when you do a good deed, what effect it will have on future generations. And similarly, when one does a bad deed, what effect it might have on the future. There is another credit given to the Shevet Levi, and that is in the story of the Meraglim at the beginning of Parsha Shelach Lecha, when you look at the names of the people who went to spy out Eretz Yisrael, and it lists each individual by the tribe who went. There is no mention of Shevet Levi. No problems from the Levium when it came to the spying of Eretz Yisrael. So there's a double credit there, and therefore have to give the Kohen lots and lots of cover in more ways than one. Not just with Kriyas HaTorah, but when it comes to benching or doing something of an honourable performance, the Kohen comes first. And it's really not enough when you are benching just to say Bishus HaKohen or Bishus HaKohenim, and you look up and you say, "Is there a Kohen present?" "Oh, is there Bishus HaKohen?" One is really supposed to go up to the Kohen and ask him and say to him, "Is it alright, Moshe Kohen, if Fred Bloggs does the benching?" And he has to give his consent, otherwise it's not really good enough. Now, a number of practical questions come up. When we're talking about Kriyas HaTorah, We already asked this question, can you call up the God or the Yisrael in place of a Kohen? And it says the Minag B'chol Tzfutz V'Yisrael that you can call up a Shlishi or Shishi, a double B'Yisrael, and that person will not feel insulted, even though the Kohen was called up first. We give the Pritz to the Kohen. But what if? What if somebody comes along and says to the Shul, look, I'm going to give a huge sum of money to the Shul. Call me up first, instead of the Kohen. HaKesef Yaneh Sakol, says Shlomo HaMelech, money answers everything. Or is that the case? Certainly, there is a tzedakah problem. And there are teshuvas about this, where the shul had been lacking in their tzedakah income, and the question arose, do we have to call up, when we got one Kohen, in the town, can we call up others instead in order to increase the revenue? Another question. Let's say on a weekday morning you've got two bar mitzvah boys, they might be twins, and they're both Yisraelim, and you'd like to call up both of them. So it's very tempting to say to the Kohen, you're going to get a parking ticket outside if you don't hurry up now. What do we do? And it might be two chassanim, two people who are getting married. You might want to call both of them up, and they're both Yisraelim. Then there's a further question. What if it's a Tanis Tibur at Mincha? You want to call up Kohen Levi Yisrael, and the Kohen admits to you privately that he's not fasting. Do you then bypass him and discreetly call up a Yisrael Bimkon Kohen instead? Number of practical questions there. When it comes to calling up for a huge sum of money, the general halacha is you still call up the Kohen first. This is a mitzvah daraisa according to many poskim. The Rosh says this in Gittin and the fifth Perek, and there are others. The Rambam says this. The Kiddush is a mitzvah daraisa. It's not for you to set aside a mitzvah min haTorah. You can't do it. And the Kohen can't be moichel. Although, if he really wants to go out to make way for somebody else, and it's on his own choice, and he hasn't been asked to, then there are poskim who say that could be okay. Sefer Megillas Kohen brings down a number of deus. If he on his own volition decides, well, I don't want to be here, I want to give a chance to some others, he can go out. But nobody's allowed to say to him, oi, out. It's not right. One is otherwise being mevatel a mitzvah saseh. Now when it comes to Simchas Torah, it's a kol drabonon is mishum darkei shalom. Yeah, we don't want machlokes. But poskim say that if he wishes to go out, yeah, is that called moichel on his kovod? If he's present in the shul, that is moichel on kovod. But if he's not in the shul at all, then he's chosen to go outside, we're already saying, okay, it's going beyond that. He's not really over the Din D'Rabbanan. Okay, Simchas Torah, you want to make a Chosan Bereshis. Well there, in any case, we've got the Din of Kohen at the beginning of the Zos HaBrach. But what if Shabbos Bereshis? Shabbos Bereshis, the very first Shabbos after Simchas Torah, we start the Sefer Torah, and some multimillionaire says, call me up for Kohen. I'll think I'm coming, and I'll give X million pounds to the shul. Is this an offer you just can't refuse? Well, we do have poskim who say that is kavod haTorah. If somebody comes along and says I'm going to give so much money to be called up at the very beginning, well, he might consider it to be kavod for himself. But if he regards it as kavod haTorah because somebody's willing to pay for it to show how important it is to be giving credit to the beginning of the Torah, then poskim say that's already covered la Torah. And there's a tshuva of the Shivas Tzion, who is the son of the Behuda, who says Shabbos Bereshis we will allow it, and he goes as far as saying this is an established minhag which we've learned from previous generations for a very long time, and a minhag vosikin can be mevatel halacha in those circumstances. An age-old minhag, we can set aside the halacha. It is still the halacha that you should call up the Kohen first, but there's an established minhag to call up Yisrael at the beginning of Shabbos Bereshis, and he allows it. But any other time throughout the year, he says no. That would not be correct, and then it would be a frequent thing, and we're not going to say minag mevatel halacha when it happens in such a long, such a prevailing way. Magen Avraham also brings the shaila down in the Siman Kuf Lamed Hey Yudzayin, saying this is covered la Torah. And the question is asked by the Chasam Sofer in Siman Kaf Dalet, if there's only one Kohen and you've got many Chiyuvim, Chiyuvim being Aveilim and Bar Mitzvahs and Chasanim, there too he agrees. If the Chasam decides, if the Kohen decides to get out on his own accord, fine. Otherwise, not okay. And the Marashtam and Maharsham both ask about losing tzedakah, and they say, tough, we're not going to sacrifice the covers of the Kohen in order that the revenue is increased for the shul. Interesting. It's not actually described like that in the Poskim to say how the circumstances would come about. The impression I've got is that if some sort of non-instructive hint is made to the Kohen, if it's an instructive hint, like you've got in Hilchos Shabbos with Amir al-Akum, it's not on. Not, you know. Why are you in here when we've got all these chiyuvim? What are you doing in this place? That would certainly be out of order. That's just the impression one gets from the way they write. They don't actually say this. But if one just says, oh, busy day today. have you been invited to these two mitzvahs? If you say, would you mind, I think that's already asking him to leave. But I have seen it being done, but it doesn't seem to be right. Well, you don't have the problem with the VM, because once the Kohen goes outside...
Let's assume the Kohen doesn't go
out. But you have to call up a Levi, or Kohen didn't become Levi.
The Levi walked out, though. The Kohen would be there.
But it wouldn't make a practical difference, because if the Levi walks out, you'll call up the Kohen didn't become Levi for the second Aliyah.
So,
yeah, if you've got no Kohen, then you don't need the Levi. Sorry about this, Levian. Now, what if you call up, let's say you think there's no Kohen present, and you call up the Yisrael in error, and just as the Yisrael has come up, and he said it's bracha, and you've started the laning stop. Yeah, then what do? Then you realise, oh gosh, there's this Kohen who's smuggled in somehow, and he's been hiding, and you didn't notice he's there. According to the Pri Chodosh and the Noda Bihuda, you have to start all over again. And yeah, you'll have your bit of laning, and then you'll stop, and then you'll call up the Kohen and start all over again. Yes. You're repeating.
When, if the Kohen has got this urge to leave just before the laning begins, is it okay for him to come back? You're saying he can't come back halfway through the laning of the Mishnah.
I'd have to think about that. I can't bring myself to answer that question. I think we've got to look at the Pri Chodosh and Noda Bihuda in more detail to see whether...
The inference would be at the end of the laning.
Yes, it seems... According to that, he's got to stay out for the whole of laning, but I'd have to come back to you on that.
Does he not have to listen to the laning?
No. Well, if he's standing outside, he might hear it. But, yeah, it's a problem. He is giving up something himself. But that's all then. That's Kriyas HaTorah. But there are other issues. We've spoken about benching. And we've spoken about being Moichel Amos covered for benching. But what if there are other aspects relating to giving cover to the Kohen, and that is to use the services of a Kohen. Now, in order that you honour a Kohen, if he comes to your house and he wants to be part of the household in order to help, and so you say to him, could you go and empty the dustbin please, it seems you'd be committing an issa d'oraisa. You cannot ask the Kohen to empty out your dustbin.
Does it include their wives? Yeah.
Does it include their wives, you say?
Yes.
Now, a Kohen is allowed to forego his honour. But to use the services of a Kohen, you can't even send him just on a simple errand if you are being mishtamesh to Kohen. Now, if he waives his status, it's not really l'chatchila. And Yisrael should certainly never ask a Kohen to perform any lowly tasks, like we've described, emptying the dustbin. So it's preferable that a Kohen doesn't even enter any profession that might require a Yisrael, who is an employer, to order him to engage in degrading types of work. I'm not suggesting accountancy is one of those, but... But when is it permitted to benefit from the services of a Kohen? If the Kohen is receiving a payment, or he is serving some distinguished person, like he's a chassid for a Rebbe, and the Rebbe is Yisrael, and the chassid is the Kohen, and he wants to serve on him, he derives pleasure from doing so. And therefore, because he derives pleasure from doing so, it's permitted to ask the Kohen to serve the Yisrael. So similarly, if a Kohen offers to serve Yisrael without being told to do so, it is permitted to accept his offer. Now, some poskim allow a Yisrael to use the services of a Kohen who is an Amor Oret. We haven't really defined what an Amor Oret is, but it still mustn't be in a demeaning manner. Certainly if the Kohen has married a divorcee, then we don't give him that importance anymore, because a Kohen is not allowed to marry a divorcee. Or if the Kohen enters cemeteries and that kind of thing, we don't give him the kavod. He forfeits his privileges. It's then no longer a mitzvah to honour him, and there are no restrictions. In fact, we exclude the Kohen from davening as well once he has broken his Kohen duties as such.
And if he breaks just general Israel duties,
well, then it will decide if he's doing it the first ilachis, or if he's a tinek shenishba kind of thing. I think there's a distinction there. Nowadays, poskim say there's no such thing as a mechal of Shabbos b'feheska, in the proper meaning of the word. But it's a bit of a dangerous route to go down, because I haven't seen what poskim are writing on this. But certainly the idea of if he's married a divorcee, we don't give him his privileges. Now, there is the question here of yichus. Because how do you know for sure that you are a Kohen, or that you're not a Kohen? I know that they've been saying now with DNA tests, they've been discovering some amazing things, that Kohenim have a particular DNA. But as far as the poskim are concerned, the Mogen Avraham questions why is it that not so much kavod is given to Kohenim nowadays like there should be. And he is melamed zechus on Klal Yisrael by saying, well, we don't really know for sure that they got that they are Kohenim. There is a chazokah that people are Kohenim. Okay, but to have it, even at the time of the Amoraim, there was already doubt as to whether certain people were Kohenim or not. And it's not simply whether you are descended through your parents, through your fathers as a Kohen. It's possible that one ancestor of yours might have married a divorcee, and then the child would be called a chalal, and all subsequent generations will not be called Kohenim anymore. So how do we know? We don't know. So what's the psak on this? The Abiya Omer actually writes in his Chumash that he's heard of people who actually buy kohuna. They actually pay some sort of sum of money and they bring down some certificate. You know the joke about the guy who comes to the rabbi and says, I want to be a Kohen. I'll pay anything you want. The rabbi says, look, it doesn't work that way. He says, well, why do you want to be a Kohen? Well, he says, my father was a Kohen, his father was a Kohen. Well, why shouldn't I be a Kohen? The Maharsham writes in his Chumash Evan Ezer, in Reish Kafei, that nowadays we do not force a Kohen to divorce a divorcee whom he has married. He shouldn't have done it, but we don't force it because maybe he's not a Kohen. But the Shmos Yaakov says in Chelek Aleph Tzadik Gimel, we do encourage the Kohenim to divorce their wives if they are divorcees. But the whole issue of yichus and the doubt caused whether someone's a Kohen or not is refuted heavily by the Chumash of the Maharit in Kufmen Tes Chelek Aleph and also the Chutz Hasheni, the Knesset Yecheskel, they say Chalila Lahotzi Laz, you are forbidden to suggest otherwise that a Kohen is not really a Kohen. If somebody has a Chazaka that he's a Kohen, then you have to make sure that he gets all the kibbutim of a Kohen. And so from now on, we must make sure that we give them the right cover, the right respect, not only the Rav of the Shul, who is a Kohen, also those other who are Kohanim. One final thing is that the mention before of the terminology Amoretz is not always easy to understand. Because if you look in the Steich Hemed in the Klalei HaPoskim, he says, he asks the question, does a Rav have to look through the whole of Shulchan Aruch when he paskins, the whole of Shas when he paskins, or is it good enough just to look at the Shulchan Aruch and the maybe the Shach and the Taz or something like that? And he says really, lechachila, somebody who paskins should look through the whole of Shas first. But to just rely on the Shulchan Aruch, he says, that was written for the Amei Ha'aretz. So we should at least strive to be that sort of Amoretz, where we know the whole of the Shulchan Aruch. And once we're there, then we can start talking about the rest. But Pashtus, though, when he talks about Amoretz in the Din of a Kohen, it's somebody who we don't have to give so much cover to, because it's not such a person, but without being insulting towards. What we said earlier about the Egel Azor having such an effect, when Moshe Rabbeinu said Mila Shem Eloi, and the effect that's had now for thousands of years, that we don't know how a good deed of ours can be so influential and beneficial, not for us, but for many, many future generations for always to come. And so now, particularly in the month of Elul, when we're preparing for Yom HaDin, and we reflect on our past and our present and towards our future, it's a very interesting thing for us to take to heart, that whatever we're doing for the good has benefit for so many generations to come, and we don't know what harm we might be causing on the bad things for the future generations. And with that, we can end with the bracha of a ksiva chesima tova, and the shanas gula v'shura l'chal klal Yisrael. Thank you.